Good afternoon. Happy October.
October already.
Yes, it is. Spooky time.
Yeah.
I'm Dom.
I'm Jamie.
And welcome back to the Cutting Room Floor. Sorry life's been in the way, but you know we always around the corner, you know, just like the IRS.
Oh, that's terrible. True, yeah. Dude, I've been getting notifications about, like, you know, tax stuff is almost due. I'm like, wasn't it due in April?
You're like, wait a minute, bro. What? You're like, I feel like this just happened.
Yeah.
Time just, the older you get, time just, like, it's insane, bro. It's nuts.
It's very taxing.
It's very taxing.
That's really what it is.
So, first things first, happy birthday
to Dom.
To both of us.
Yeah, to Dom.
To us.
And to me.
Because yours is technically closer now. Mine was Sunday.
Yes.
His is tomorrow.
Wow.
Big day. You know, he's only turning 30.
Well, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. I've been able to rent a car for almost 5 years.
Yeah, he's just, he's been a kid so long. He's finally going into real adulthood.
It's like a file says, you're only as old as you feel. So, That's terrible.
Dude, I was watching a review for Leon the Professional.
Oh, yeah, know. Yeah.
You know, Matilda, Natalie Portman's character, she's all into him and stuff. And somebody commented, they're like, dude, this movie's giving pedophiles hope. And I laughed so fucking hard. It's like, oh my God.
And you know what? I never thought about it like
that. Yeah, me neither. I was like, God. They're like, yeah, maybe. I'm like, guys, this is fake. Luc Besson only got the young girls because he was Luc Besson.
Yeah.
You guys.
And they wanted to forward their career.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Lester the truck driver, don't think you're about to go snag the hot young chick.
Which obviously it would be Lester the is what it would be. That's why you picked that name.
It would be Lester the. Yes. That's, you know, I think my subconscious did do that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. But anywho, it is October. So happy birthday, Jamie.
Happy birthday, Dom.
Thank you. And he got me this sweet-ass Darth Vader mug. It's so cool.
As everyone should know, you love Darth Vader.
I love the Lord Vader. He's my mans, bro. He's the dude. I would have been a Sith Lord, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I would have been a regular guy. I would have been like a Han Solo type, like smuggling Coke or, sorry, but, spice.
But then you would have been like, you know, banging the Jedi chicks.
Definitely,
so you would have been, your kids would have been.
I would definitely would have had some children that probably would. Yeah, I would have definitely been banging Jedi chicks.
They would have had to choose between,
because,
you know,
the good, we would have forced ourselves upon each other.
Yeah.
But you guys. So in honor of Halloween, I've been wanting to see this film for a while, and I'd heard about it. I'd never seen it. Angel Heart. 1987?
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke. Young Mickey Rourke performance.
Yeah. Like, right after, like, Diner. Did you ever see Diner?
I've never seen it.
We might have to do Diner sometime.
Have to do Diners.
I think it's Barry Sonnenfeld or Barry Levinson. It's one of those. One of those Barrys did the Men in Black movies later.
Love Men in Black.
I think it was Sonnenfeld. So I forget who did that one, but it's like Paul Reiser, Tim Daly, Mickey Rourke. It's a lot of young, I think. Daniel Stern is in it.
Wow, a lot of young stars.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's
no,
not Angel.
No, it's good. Mickey Rourke, and then, I mean, he carries this. This is his film.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you got my man's Robert De Niro, bro, and I loved him in this movie.
I would have said Toot Sweet. My man's Toot Sweet.
Yeah, Toot Sweet. Yo, Toot Sweet, man. He bit the big one. We'll talk about Toot Sweet.
Apparently, he did. He choked.
Yo, he choked. That was so. He was like
the part way they where described he's like, it must have been a big one.
It must have been right. Like, well, when they're at the church though, and he's telling De Niro how it happened, and he's like, he choked on his pisser. He's like, oh, you're in a church.
Yeah. He's like, I don't give a fuck if I'm in a church.
So funny. Yeah. But this movie has this like weird, eerie, like voodoo-y, spooky, like kind of Halloween time vibe. It's you know, it deals with devil play and hell and selling your soul and things like
honestly,
that.
I thought De Niro was like a vampire at first because he was never in the light and he had those
long nails. Yeah. I love at the end when you see him like reveal he's got his hair out and he's like, yeah, I'm the fucking man now. I figured out the twist. I'd say, like I said, when he meets Epiphany was when I kind of was like,
oh, really?
I I'm thinking some things. Her name said it to me. I'm like,
Epiphany. Oh, because it should have been an epiphany.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, something's happening here. And then just the way she was and the way she was speaking about everything. And then when she was like,
but then
he was my dad. And I was like,
but doesn't it make something that happens later, like, even worse?
Yeah. Yes, it does. And that's in my what's age the worst.
Yeah. Like the whole. Yeah.
We'll get there because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't know until like right before he figured it out, it suddenly hit me and I'm like, oh, just like De Niro's name.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's kind of what told me.
I was looking at it, how he wrote it down. I'm like, oh, a cipher.
Yeah, cipher. And he was like, well, what he was saying, he was like, Mr. Saphir or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's cipher. And I was like, he's got to be. And I'm like, just the way he is, and he's got like an infinite amount of money, it seems like, and he's just like, I'm like, okay, this guy.
Yeah, I'll give you $5,000 in 1955.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, do you need more money? No problem. I'm like, oh, you just got endless amounts of funds. Only people with endless funds are vampires and devils and motherfuckers like that.
Yeah, and I get, we'll talk about
it. We'll get there. Because
this might actually be an easy breezy one, because it's not really a short film, but what happens...
It's very packed in a quick, short, cohesive message. Because all it is it's a dude investigating essentially...
A disappearance.
Yeah. And these key murders that happen within it give him steps to figuring out what is actually going on.
Yeah, because he keeps having flashbacks to... things, but he doesn't know what.
And I'm like, and I'm starting to figure this shit out, because like I said, I was like,
Alan Parker did a great job.
He did. I was like, go ahead, Alan Parker. I was like, I mean, he
went from like The Wall to this.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm like, that's, I'm like, your diversity, your range is crazy, because he did like Bugsy Malone and stuff.
And didn't he also do Angela's Ashes?
I never saw that, but he might have.
And The Commitments. If you ever saw that, The Commitments. Either. Okay,
is that good?
It's been a long. It's been like 30 something. It's about like these Irish. It's
been that long. You're only 30.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right.
You're getting your dates wrong.
Yeah. It's when hard. When I first
when
saw
you it. Get over 30, bro, it happens.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's terrible. So, he's directed. Yeah, he has had a huge range, a wide variety of films.
Okay. Well, go Alan Parker, because I was like, hey, because like the first half of it. I was like, okay, I'm definitely feeling Mickey Rourke's performance. And I'm like, I see a lot of dudes in the 90s bit this dude's acting style.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Christian Slater.
But also, like, you could see almost like early Brad Pitt roles, too.
Yeah, I'm like, a lot of dudes.
Influenced by Mickey Rourke.
I was like, a lot of dudes. Brad Pitt, and Christian Slater, like.
And I feel like.
I'd say even, like, Ed Norton, like, a lot of guys I feel like were definitely watching Mickey Rourke back in the late 80s.
Yeah, because he was like. I hate to say he was like from the street, because that sounds like stupid and whatever. But, you know, like his performance style seemed a little more natural.
It was very natural.
Especially in this film. Mm-hmm. Like, he seemed like the guy from Brooklyn, right?
Yes, he felt like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Like and a regular New York dude.
The one thing that like really pissed me off, though, about this entire film is how bulky and awkward his trench coat looked.
Dude, he was a weird built dude back then.
Yeah, but like if he would have had like a thinner trench coat, I think it would have changed the aesthetic of the entire film. Well, but maybe it was meant to make him look awkward.
Yeah, the time period. You know, they had those big old...
Yeah. What is it, shoulder pads?
Shoulder pads. I was like, like a golden girl.
Like. Like, were they trying to bulk him up more? Is that what it was?
He was awkwardly built back then. He didn't get jacked till later.
Like the wrestler.
Yeah, the wrestler. Well, he was jacked in that weird Dennis Rodman Van Damme movie.
Double team. Oh my god. God. Oh, it's terrible. I don't know what's worse, the fact that it was made or the fact that I remember it.
I think the fact that it was made is absolutely worse.
But look,
it's easy to remember because it's that bad.
But see, like, at the time, they were just throwing Van Damme and everything. But if you look at, like, what was it, Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Time Cop? I know Bloodsport, because he's supposed to be an American dude, doesn't make any sense. But just look at, like, the film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, that one where he played twins, Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Believe it or not, as terrible as Double Impact kind of is, he was good in
dude,
it.
Dude, they're all watchable. That's the thing. You can watch them all. You might laugh at a lot of it that ain't supposed to be funny, but like, it is watchable.
Yeah, because Van Damme.
He has a screen presence.
And, you know, even I just wish he would have had the right hair as Guile in Street Fighter.
Dude's got a regular ass.
Yeah, like no, you need the
Big blonde like what, blowout.
Yeah, 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 whatever the hell it was.
I'm like, you should have called Paulie D. Got a blowout and dyed it blonde, bro. That's what he should have did.
Yeah, I guess all their makeup budget went to his coke habit.
They 20K a week.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm like, I mean,
bro, you got 5-6 mortgage payments you're putting in your nose. Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's insane. When you break things down that way, it makes it really seem bad.
So what happened to like Mickey Rourke's career after this? Because this should have been like a career making role. I know he did like Year of the Dragon, I think, after this, but he never really. Oh, and Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man with Don Johnson.
Yeah.
But like after that.
Well, apparently. I watched an interview with Mickey Rourke. Apparently, he was an asshole. He was really hard to work with, and he was very demanding on set, and he wouldn't take shit from no one. Him and De Niro during this movie could not stand each other.
Really?
They thought it was to the point where these dudes might fist fight. Because Mickey Rourke's like, this motherfucker's coming in like, I'm fucking Robert De Niro, and he's like, I don't give a shit who you are, bro. You're gonna treat me like I'm any other person.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and take your shit because you're a big name actor. I don't give a shit about you.
Wow.
He's like, I told him that to his fucking face, and he never had nobody talk to him like that before.
Wow.
So Mickey Rourke wasn't, he wasn't, like we said, he was from the streets. He was from the fucking streets.
Yeah, so it was authentic.
Yeah, it was very authentic. Okay,
that makes
Mickey
sense.
Mickey Rourke was a very difficult guy. Mickey Rourke didn't want to play their game. He said, I'm not playing Hollywood's game.
Yeah.
And I respect it. But if you want to get rich and have a lasting career, you have to play the game a little bit.
Because I kept thinking, like, looking
don't
at him.
Don't go to a Diddy party, but,
you
know, like, but play a little bit.
But, you know, it's like, I kept looking at him here in this era, 87, thinking, man, he could have played so many great in so many great films after this that I'm thinking of.
Could have killed it. He could have had one of the best 90s of anyone.
Look, he could have even been a good Batman.
Yeah, I was literally thinking he could have played Batman.
Yeah.
I was like, he could have played Batman. He would have killed it as Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He would have been a beastly Bruce Wayne. Like,
because he could have added
that. He honestly would have been the right age around when Keaton's Batman.
Yeah, because this was only 2 years before. That's what I mean. Like, he could have.
Because he was probably like, what, 31 in this movie, too?
Yeah.
He could have played him. Because Mickey Rourke, he's like 70 something now. Yeah, he could have played him.
Yeah.
He looks fucking ridiculous now. Have you seen him lately?
Like the plastic surgery.
Yeah, dude, it's almost like a woman, dude.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Terrible.
Jacked as hell still, but I'm like.
He probably looks like Lily Tomlin now.
Ah, she looks crazy. I'm like, listen, y'all.
Just age gracefully.
All want to be Jane, but there's only one Jane. Yes. Sorry. But Mickey Rourke, I was actually very, very impressed with what he did in this film.
Yeah.
I thought he played a good detective in the whole noir style, you know, because it's back in the 50s. I thought it was really slick. I love the way he was, you know, he felt like a real private eye.
He did.
Knew how to get in, and he knew what to say to people and how to manipulate people and getting the information he needed. And he did it, like you said, it seemed really effortless. It felt like he wasn't reading a script. It felt like he was just a real private eye going, being a New York type of guy, you know, and he was slick, you know. I didn't think he was the best looking dude, but I'm like, I could see why these chicks were attracted to him. Based on how he was moving, you know.
It's more his like swagger.
He was swagged out for sure.
Yeah,
he had it. But I mean, this movie's simple, guys. So Mickey Rourke plays a guy named Harry Angel, and Harry Angel gets a call to do a job to find a guy, Johnny Favorite, and the guy who hires him, his name is Lucas Cypher, and he's played by my man, the GOAT, new father, Robert De Niro.
New father at 82,
3.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Robert De Niro, brand new dad, newborn baby.
Wow.
Him and Pacino, I'm like, y'all go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
They just can't give up that hoo-ha.
I made a mistake. Honey, you got one of those Plan Bs.
It's that hair trigger. That's the problem. It's the hair trigger.
That's what. So De Niro plays Cypher, and Cypher hires Harry to find this guy, Johnny Favorite, who he wants to know if he is dead or not. Because
there was a business transaction.
There's a business transaction.
He's like, I don't like to lose business.
Yeah, he's like, I just need to know whether this guy's still alive or not.
Yes.
So I'm paying you to do it. So he's like, cool, whatever. So he goes around, he starts sniffing around, you know, trying to figure out who this favorite guy is. And he's under the impression this guy's dead because everyone's kind of like, oh, this dude's dead. He hasn't been around in 12 years. Like,
yeah, he disappeared.
He just disappeared. He's probably not alive. Like,
yeah.
And in the 50s, you could just disappear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could just slide on away.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't blame Cypher for not just taking the shit at face value because it's like, I need to see a body.
Yeah.
Before I'm cool with this. But as it goes on, you're like, what the fuck is so important about finding this guy, right? So Harry is going through doing his private eye stuff. He gets very little information. He gets some information that he was at some kind of a mental facility at one point, and somebody took him out maybe and has been maybe covering up his death, and he could be out there. So Cypher is convinced he's out there, which I am too, because I'm like, well, if this guy's looking for him, no one's confirmed.
Yeah.
Until it's confirmed they're dead, they might not be dead.
Yeah, and once he goes to that hospital, he finds out that, you know, there's like a crooked doctor.
Yes, the doctor that was paid to cover these things up. Yeah. And he that's just another great scene where you see his charm come out. Because that...
Oh, yeah, with the nurse.
That pale-skinned ginger lady.
Yeah.
Great skin color.
Yeah.
Wasn't cute, but her skin color was great. He uses that charm on her.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to give nothing up at first. And he's like, well, you know, you just tell me if he was around. She's like, oh, okay, what's his name?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, dude, that to me was showing me that charm, that natural charm that Mickey had. Because, like, God, that dude could have been huge.
Yeah.
Like, that dude could be sitting on millions and millions of dollars, having a legacy career like none other. He could be having a Sam Jackson type of career, look, De Niro.
Just like after a License to Drive, like Corey Haim, and at around the same time, like River Phoenix, they should have been like the biggest young actors of that time.
If River wouldn't have died, River would be a Leonardo right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd be like,
definitely.
He'd be a top fiver right now. Like, dude had it all.
He'd still be doing. He would be doing Indiana Jones.
Maybe. He would.
Since he was the original young Indiana Jones.
He'd be Indy. There could possibly be no Shia LaBeouf without this.
Yeah, yeah.
Now River was. He was. And like, don't get me wrong, Joaquin is incredible. I think River would have. Joaquin would have hit where he hit.
Yeah, because if River was still around,
he would have been River's little brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He might have still been like Lee.
He would have been Tony Scott.
You know
what I mean? And that sounds fucked up. Yeah.
It's like, only fucked up because Tony Scott killed himself.
So I didn't mean that in that context. I'm just saying, comparing the two, like,
yeah, Ridley and Tony.
Ridley's Ridley and Tony's Tony. Yeah. Like, we know that.
If you look at like one Top made Gun Aliens and Gladiator.
Yeah. I'm like, one made Aliens and Gladiator. One made Top Gun and True Romance. Top Gun, but True Romance. True Romance. Great.
I forgot he did True Romance.
Yeah, one of the best movies, but no one's ever seen it. You know what I'm saying?
But isn't that considered like one of the best screenplays ever?
It's one of the best screenplays. Tarantino.
Yeah, I know, but it's like,
and Christian Slater, one of his best performances.
Yeah.
Definitely was watching Mickey Rourke in Angel Heart.
Oh, yeah.
He did this movie. Because
Christian Slater, now that you mentioned, he's sort of an amalgam of Mickey Rourke and Jack Nicholson.
Yep, yeah.
That's who he is as an actor.
And he's quite good because you watched that show he did, right? Where he played, what was it?
With Freddie Mercury?
Yes.
Mr. Robot?
Yeah, Mr. Robot.
No, I never did.
Oh, bro, I didn't watch it. I hear he is incredible in that show.
Well, all these actors who were like great like 30 or 40 years ago, now that they're older, they're better.
Way better.
Because
life experience.
Yeah.
That makes you better. You know how to portray certain things that you probably couldn't before.
Did you ever see Pump Up the Volume?
Why does that sound so familiar?
He's like a DJ on like a pirate radio station.
I've never Happy seen Heart that, but Harry. I know what that is. Is that any good?
Yeah, I mean, for a late 80s.
Late 80s, you know.
I mean, you've seen Heathers, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
And then, I've seen Gleam in the Cube.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
What about The Legend of Billy Jean?
I never saw that.
He plays Helen Slater's brother in that. I don't think they're related, even though they have the same last name.
Oh.
Helen Slater, who played Supergirl in like 84.
I never saw that.
Yeah, that's another one of his. Gleaming the Cube and The Legend of Billie Jean, I think, are like his first two big things.
Okay, Gleaming the Cube's fun, you know, man. I'm a skater, so, you know, you got Tony Hawk up in there. You got all the pros. Christian Asoy. Anywho, so Harry, he finds this doctor, and this damn doctor is drugged the fuck out.
Oh, he is. Yeah, morphine, yeah, sulfate.
Morphine, everything. Yeah, he's, yeah. And he comes in his house, and one thing I like another charismatic movie, sitting there smoking a cigarette in the dark, and the doctor comes in. He's like, what are you doing here? Da, 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 da. And he's like, you're breaking and entering. He's like, oh, call the cops.
Yeah.
And he knows he's not going to.
Yeah, because he talks about the pharmacy.
And he knows he's not going to. So he's like, checkmate. And I'm like, that's just smooth as hell. It's just good writing. But this doctor here, he gives him some information, and he's discussing things with him. He's like, maybe this dude isn't dead. Because this doctor is basically like, look, man, I was paid for years to cook the books, essentially.
I was paid even more money than you were.
Than you were, yeah. He's like, bro, I made more money cooking these books than actually being a fucking doctor.
Yeah, because I don't think doctors...
They weren't making bread like that back then, you know? I mean, they were, of course, making money, but...
Yeah, but it wasn't like...
being a doctor was real different back in the day.
Yeah, especially when you were making house calls. Because that was still at the time when it was like transitioning.
Because I'm like, bro, a house call costs you, what, a couple dollars? Maybe, you know what I mean? That's what I'm like, what do you... Health insurance wasn't like that back then.
No. So like you just, I don't even know if they had it.
Yeah, you just call the doc. Hey, bro, I need you to come by. He pulls up with his little suitcase.
With his little black bag.
Yep, the little black bag with his tools. He checks you out, tells you what to do, and bounces, bro. What does that cost you? $5 at most?
Yeah.
You
know, like, but then again, $5 back then would have been a lot of money.
A lot, yeah. But, I mean, doctors were probably, a doctor's salary back then would probably be like, I don't know, somebody making like, what, maybe $70,000 now?
Maybe.
Yeah,
for inflation.
Like, yeah, like you're doing all right, but you ain't rich.
Yeah.
You know, like you make enough to live and live decent, but you ain't rich.
They probably made more in like research.
Yeah, I'm sure they made their money here and there, but I'm sure the modern medical world likes the pay scale more.
Yeah, once they figured out how to monetize everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, but so... He's discussing things with the doctor, and the doctor's giving him info. He leaves the doctor, and when he comes back, the doctor has himself.
Yes.
And it's like, uh-oh, well, now we have a problem, because this guy has been associated with this doctor, and he's like, hey,
his fingerprints are everywhere.
Fingerprints are all over. He's like, yo, I just went from looking for a dude, now I'm about to be a suspect in a murder. And Cypher's like, is that a problem? And he's like, yeah, it's a fucking problem, basically. And he's like, well, that's weird. He died, huh? Weird. And you can tell right away.
Yeah.
Something's off as shit with Cypher. Yeah,
but it did look like a
It did. It was did look like, I thought it was that. I thought it was. I was like, oh, damn, this doctor's probably like, fuck, I didn't told this information. Somebody's going to know. Fuck it. Whoever paid him is going to come after my life. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, this dude's life sucked. Dude's doing drugs by himself alone in his little apartment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that don't seem like a cool life. So Cypher's like, listen, he's like, I'm out. Cypher's like, listen, I'll throw you $5,000. You keep doing work.
Yeah.
And he's like, five grand? Ain't nobody about to turn down $5,000.
Yeah.
1955. It's not happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. For what you already do for a living.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, screw it. And so he goes, he keeps working. He has sex with this chick. And she gives
The one that gives him the information.
He gives him information about the shit going on in Harlem. So that's when he finds out about Toot Sweet. And he's like, shit, now I got to go to, he goes to Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't know if it's New Orleans or if it's somewhere around.
It's the bayou. Yeah. It's definitely the bayou area. I'm guessing it's New Orleans area, at least. Like,
that's where it was filmed, I believe. Yeah, it says it in the end credits. Because you have to watch all the credits because of that elevator ride.
Yeah, the elevator ride. Yeah. Yes, it does, which is... I think that was one of the nicest touches of the film. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So he goes down south to figure out, okay, let me find this Toot Sweet guy, because Toot Sweet will know about, you know, because he played with him.
Yeah. Johnny Favorite, because Johnny Favorite, he was a singer, right?
Yeah. So he talked
to, like, a golden voice.
Yeah, the golden voice. He talked to the old people on the beach. And
yes.
The lady told him about the chick, Madam whatever. I can't even.
Yeah. Epiphany's mom.
Epiphany's mom, yeah. Proudfoot.
Yeah.
She told him about her, and she's like, yeah, I know all his songs and this, that, and the third. And he's like, So he meets Epiphany, and Epiphany is played by Lisa Bonet. And Lisa Bonet is probably, what, 19 in this movie?
I don't know, but she was super young and
super fucking hot.
Yeah.
let's not beat around the bush. This was like.
He wanted to.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Now, this is around the time, I think she was transitioning from
The Cosby Show
to a different world.
A different world.
Yeah. Where Denise was going to college.
Uh huh. And
she went to college.
She did. She went to college.
But in here, she's playing a 17-year-old.
Yeah, she's playing. Yeah, that's what I thought she was. I was like, she's probably 17.
Because she said it, because he asked her.
Yeah.
He's like, that's kind of young to have a kid, right? Mm-hmm. She's like,
well,
you know, old enough to. Whatever.
Old enough to get down.
Yeah. That's basically what she said.
Yeah, it's like, I'm old enough to get down, so I'm old enough to, push it out. And, he meets her, and she's supposed to be 17, but she comes across
more
much,
mature.
Much more. Yeah. She comes off much older.
She's very worldly.
Very worldly. Obviously, she's very good looking. And, he's flirting with her off the rip. She's like, what's your name? Epiphany. He's like, it's a real beautiful name your mom gave you. I'm like, that's not a beautiful name. The name is terrible.
Yeah.
You just think she's hot.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Epiphany is not
unless he
name.
Just suddenly had a realization had about something when he saw her.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, she's hot.
Yeah.
I just had an epiphany.
He's like, her name was perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone had that same epiphany, bro.
Yeah, I think so. Because everyone else around her looked like garbage.
They did, yes.
But I obviously purposeful.
Yeah, yes. But she is by far the best looking chick in this movie.
Yeah.
She was right. So he meets her and he's asking her questions. She's like, well, I don't know.
She's like, I'm trying to wash my hair, bro.
Yeah, she's like, I'm washing my hair. I don't know. Johnny Favorite. She's like, I never heard of a favorite. I knew all mama's friends.
Yeah, because she liked men.
She liked men. She's like, mama had a lot of friends.
A lot of favorites.
A lot of favorites. Let's say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, all right, well, hit me up if something comes up. And he's like, well, hit me if something don't come up either.
Yeah.
He's like, sure.
And he hates chickens. Why does he hate chickens?
Dude, he's got that whole thing about the damn chickens. Because
he's like stepping over the chickens. He's like, these goddamn chickens and stuff. Yeah. And with the chicken bones, he's like,
When he meets Toots Sweet, finally, he meets him at a bar Toots was playing at. And he comes over and talks to Toots. And he's like, yeah, I've seen you play back in New York. With the homie Johnny Favorite. And he's like, yeah, I played with the cat once or twice. Southern black dude. He's funny. And he's like, all right, listen, bro. He's like, I got to take a piss. Let me be. He goes to the bathroom. He comes in with him. He finds that little chicken hand in there.
Yeah.
Which is some voodoo shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was some voodoo shit. But he, flips out. And he's got this whole thing about chickens, the whole second half of the movie. He's like, enough of the chickens. But so he figures out that Toots is connected to Epiphany.
Yeah.
And they.
Oh, yeah, because he sees him.
Sees him
doing that ceremony. Yeah. The ritual. Yeah.
And the ceremony was quite disturbing. It disturbed me in a lot of ways. Mostly I disturbed myself because I was disturbed at what I was seeing happen to these chickens. But I was also disturbed at how good Lisa Bonet looked with blood on her. I was like, this is so wrong. Terrible. But I can't not look.
So was it voodoo or was it Santeria?
I don't know.
That's also,
it's got to be a little bit of both. I don't know.
I think Santeria is a mix of voodoo, some
satanic elements.
No, it's African diaspora stuff. So African religions and Catholicism. It's a mix of all that stuff.
Bro, yeah, together. That's wrong, dude.
It's not Satanism. People would think that if you don't know. So it's kind of and I hate to bring this up, it's kind of they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, right? But if you think about other cultures, if they have rituals,
they do shit.
Yeah, animal sacrifices.
Animal sacrifice. So especially in India.
Yeah. So if they're actually stealing geese or whatever, I don't believe any of it. I just have to throw that out there. But if they are, you got to think culturally, there might be some kind of ritual for, let's say, like prosperity or whatever, because even in the Bible, you sacrifice lambs, you sacrifice animals. Yeah. You sacrifice your firstborn son in the Bible, for crying out loud. Yeah. And that was okay. So, so I wish that people were more culturally competent before they said things.
Yeah.
So this could actually just be, you know, it might not be voodoo, even though it most likely is voodoo.
I mean, it felt voodoo-y to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't study the dark arts.
But this was a time, too, in, like, cinema. You had, like, I think The Serpent and the Rainbow, and you had The Believers. You had all these films about, like, voodoo and, like, Haitian culture and, like the Southern states that practice some of that stuff also. So this kind of lines up too with like a cinematic trend in that time.
That's good to know, because this shit is trippy. I mean, like, clearly you can see where they live, some shit goes on. I didn't know what to expect.
And you're more in touch with nature with these types of things also, so you would, like, literally everything is kind of more earthy there because everyone is living on dirt.
Yep.
You know, so you're more grounded, like, literally and figuratively. So I don't know. I saw it a little differently. It is disturbing, but only when you're not used to seeing that type
of thing. Yeah, I just hate seeing chickens get their throats cut. It's not something
I mean, look, Chick-fil-A does it every day, and they're a Christian group.
That is true, man.
They're murdering chickens like nobody's business.
Eat more chicken, as they say, you know, with a cow hole.
Yeah, that's what all those heifers say. Yeah,
eat more chicken, like, save us.
Yeah.
I mean, look, whatever. But it's interesting. It's
She might have worked for KFC.
She
You never know. Colonel Sanders is probably this is the first ingredient to my original recipe. Lisa Bonet's titties hanging out.
She's a good, with that's blood a on. Great start. That's a great start. You're gonna start some kind of way. Good start. I was like, man, she. I mean, obviously, we all know Lisa Bonet it's been good looking, but I'm like, man, she was really pretty. I don't know who's prettier, her or Zoe. God, Zoe is fun. Look so much alike.
But the thing is, it kind of makes a recast easy.
It's an easy. That's why I was like, dude, I was like, so I did have her, but I have someone else
too. Oh, really?
I'm like, yes, I had Zoe, but I'm like, I have someone else too, because, like, that's too easy.
Yeah, but it's almost like such a
nice homage, though.
Yeah, because, you know? like my other two recasts, I think, might work well with her age group now too, even though Zoe Kravitz, look, she's in her early 30s, she still looks young. Yeah, she still looks like she could be
20-year-old.
Yeah,
like, so I'm like, that was my only thing with her, was like, I think she's older than me, actually. So I'm
probably
she's like 34 or 35, so like, I'm like, so, but she hasn't aged
since X-Men First Class.
I'm like, she still looks the same. So I mean, but anyway, we can go on about Lisa Bonet. It's like, when I watched it, you hadn't watched it, I was like, oh, he's going to get a kick out of Epiphany.
but when I watched it, I was like, wow, this is really weird. Because even when she's washing her hair, you know, her shirt's getting wet.
Yeah, and you're like,
wow. I was
like, Jesus.
Wow.
Like, Lisa. I was like, Lisa. But anyway,
she was really trying to shed that Cosby kid.
She really was. And, I mean, I think she did a great job in this movie.
Yeah.
So Lisa Bonet, Epiphany, she's like, yeah, cool, whatever. So Toots Fats, he meets up with him, or Toots Fats, Toots Sweet. It just felt like somebody's name in this movie should have been Fats.
Now you're fat shaming Toots.
He wasn't even that big. I'm like, I felt like somebody in this movie should have been named something Fats.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was the one cop.
He
should have been Jumbotron. Like, tons of fun.
Yeah. His name looks like it would have been Minnesota Fats, like, from fucking The Hustler.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah, because, or I guess Mississippi Fats.
Mississippi Fats. That would have been a great name for this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, but Toots Sweet, he confronts him, and he's like, listen, bro, I seen you acting a fool with Epiphany, with the chickens, and he's like, what the fuck is going on with the chickens? He's flipping out about the chickens. And he's like, oh, well, listen, man, you know, I'm just doing my thing. Don't you worry about nothing, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, well, listen, motherfucker. He, like, threatens him a little bit, but he's like, look, you going to tell me what I need to know. This is my name, my hotel, and all that shit. Let me know something. He leaves him. Cops, he goes and hangs out with Epiphany.
Yeah.
And he has a great night. You know? Can't be mad at him.
Yeah, he does, and it's weird.
It was weird.
Because you don't know if it's, like, another one of her rituals.
You don't.
Or, you know, it's...
Because the way it happens,
yeah,
you're like, it's and very surreal.
He's moving. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, I was like, bro.
And I'm like, that's not the ass I want to see. Why am I looking at Mickey Rourke's ass?
I'm like, dude, you got this narrow Hank Hill ass. I'm like, come on, Mickey.
Wait, is it Hank Hill or Henry Hill?
It's Hank. Propane.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was like, come on, man. I want to see this dude's ass. I agree. But,
yeah.
It was very surreal, and all this stuff is happening during, you're like, oh, what's real? What's going on?
Yeah,
is this ritual? Is one of them dying? Is like, what's going
on? Yeah, is it metaphorical?
Is it metaphorical?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm still uncertain on Epiphany. We'll get there. But
okay.
So the cops pull up, and they're like, hey, listen, brother. They're like, what you doing down here hanging out with these jigaboos? You
know,
we don't do that stuff.
That's what here. Mississippi Fats?
Yeah. He's like, we don't do that down here. He's like, well, I ain't from down here.
Yeah.
And he's like, you telling me, I'm like, you telling me you wouldn't go,
Yeah, exactly.
You know he would. He'd be like, well, yeah, I was going to tell
nobody. You just don't admit it around
like
your partner.
Yeah, I tell nobody. Yeah. He totally would. But he's basically like, listen, bro, you're a little black dude, Tootsie. Yeah, he was dead, and, you know, they cut his thing off and shoved it down his throat, and that's how he died. And when I say he was all choked up, you know, and, yeah, that's pretty disturbing.
He didn't die from bleeding out.
He didn't, no, he died from choking.
Yeah, asphyxiation.
I think they say it takes about 6 minutes to bleed out from that or something.
Really?
So it might be possible that he would choke faster.
Yeah, that's true.
God, I feel like it would happen so much quicker. There's just so much blood.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Anywho, that's a story we didn't even think about. So, this is getting ridiculous. So, he's like, look, bro, is this your handwriting? He's like, yeah, you gave him this note. Yeah. He's like, well, you know how this looks, right? He's like, yeah, but I ain't do it. You know, I was my boy. I was trying to talk to him, find some stuff out. I'm a private eye. You know, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for this dude, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They're like, well, listen. You need to get your Yankee ass back up to New York.
Yeah.
Because we ain't got people turning up dead and shit around here, bro. And, like, we can't be explaining dead M-words, you know. I mean, that's pretty much what he says.
Yeah. He does, actually. He says, go back to your...
Yeah. Get out of here. We do not want you here.
Yeah.
You know, So, and, you know, it didn't matter whether he went or not. You know, he was doomed. So, he sees this lady. She's like... medium, I guess, the psychic lady.
Oh, yeah, yes, and, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like flirting with her.
I was thinking of her size because we were talking about fats.
Yes.
So she could have been a medium, maybe. Sure. But yes, yeah, she was a psychic. Yeah.
This guy, she don't like him off rip because he's being weird and creepy. And he's like flirting with her and stuff. But, and he's lying to her and making her think certain things, you know, like private eyes do.
Yeah.
And she don't like that. And she already can sense. She's psychic. She can sense his bullshit. And she already knows. She knows who he is.
Yeah.
And because he's like flirting. He's like, yeah, I wanted you to read my palm. She's like, you wouldn't like what I told you if I read your palm. And I'm like, that there. I was like, something about this guy. Because he was, look, Harry was on my radar from start to finish. Because I'm like, he's kind of sleazy, kind of scumbaggy, you know what I mean? So I'm like, he definitely shouldn't probably be trusted. He's good at his job, yes, but he shouldn't be trusted.
Like, I felt like I got syphilis from him just watching the movie.
Right? I'm like, dude, this dude, he's out banging all kinds of chicks.
Yeah.
Nasty. I felt like he ain't showered in weeks.
Yeah, he didn't look like it.
He looked dirty and shit. Yeah. I'm like, you know, they ain't used condoms in 055.
Yeah.
You know, he was just pulling and praying. So,
The PNP method.
Yeah. So he sees this lady and, you know, he wanted to talk to her, but guess what? She shows up dead as well. And her heart has been removed.
Yes.
And that is a nice little foreshadowing to what we find out later. So now this lady's dead. This lady's dead. Toots is dead. And who's the third murder?
It started off with...
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Because he didn't kill Epiphany, right? Because he was killing her, but he didn't kill her, right?
No, no.
That's because he was like, she's just too hot to kill.
Yeah, yeah. But there was... Because he tells the cops, he's like, there's like, or no, he tells Cypher. He's like, there's three murders. There's
three murders, yeah.
Oh, the doctor.
The doctor, yes, from New York. The doctor. So I'm like, yeah, wow, yeah, the third. He's like, yeah, he's like, there's bodies turning up, bro.
Yeah, and like, I'm a suspect in all
of them. I'm a suspect in all of them. He's like, it's kind of weird, right? And he's like, yeah, but I didn't do it. And it's like, I'm like, listen, bro, it's real strange that none of these people were dying till you started poking around.
Yeah, and the way the film is set up, you know, you think he's with Epiphany when Toot Sweet
dies. Yeah.
He just leaves.
But he has that weird vision with the fucking straight razor in his hand with all the blood on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what were you using this for? Why is it covered in blood? Now I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's covered in blood.
Yeah, because, you know, his hand got sliced because it was Toot Sweet's razor.
Yeah.
Because that's what he used. So he's like,
And he's like, oh, all this blood. And I'm like, oh, this is a lot of blood. And I'm like, okay, cool, bloody, bloody. But so.
Bloody Mary.
Dude, So he ends up meeting up. He goes to, like, Gumbo Fest or whatever.
Oh, my God, Try to Gumbo.
And he, like, throws that giant crab in the pile.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like a blue crab,
too. Yeah, I was like, is that supposed to be just thrown in there like that?
I get in a soft shell, maybe.
So, basically, this dude at Gumbo Fest explains everything to him.
Yes.
He's like, dude, he's like, listen.
Oh, and that's when he realizes.
He's like, back in the day, bro, there was this dude, this favorite guy. He kidnapped this kid in Times Square, and he took his dog tags, and he's like, they were performing satanic rituals, and they were transferring bodies and souls. He's like, he pulled this motherfucker's heart out. It was still beating.
And he ate it raw. Ate
this motherfucker's heart.
Yeah.
He was like, and, you know, this shit worked, bro. He's like, I'm telling you, this shit is true. And he's like, what? You're insane. And he's like, and he's just talking and talking. And Harry knows at this point. He's like, he's getting disturbed because he's like, shit.
Yeah, and he keeps seeing, like,
seeing these visions and all this weird stuff.
Yeah, being in Times Square, probably during, like, VJ Day or whatever, with that famous picture of the sailor kissing the nurse.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the vibe I got from that vision that he had.
Dude, So he was, you could tell this, everything this guy was saying was affecting him. And the more it was affecting him, the guy's speaking more intensely. And he's like, getting real, his eyes are getting big, and he's like, yeah, buddy. He said they was in there sacrificing.
Yeah.
They was in there going crazy. He said they had that kid in there. He slit that boy right in half. He sounded like a preacher, bro. I was like, this guy's going ape shit. And fucking Harry's like, he can't take it. He's flipping out, bro. And like, he runs up out of there.
Yeah, because he realizes that the woman who was killed, she apparently has the dog tags in a sealed face.
And at that point, I'm like, you know what they're going to say. I'm like, they're going to say Harold Angel.
Yeah, but he has to know. He has to find out.
And I'm like,
what if it's not? What if it's someone else?
And if it was someone else, it's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, because it's got to be him. But this makes it so much just more disturbing because at this point, you realize Epiphany told him, he was my father.
Yeah.
Favorite was his father.
Yeah, and it's like...
And he realizes at this moment that he is Johnny Favorite.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, dude, you're worse than Luke and Leia, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you slept with your daughter, feller.
Yeah.
Even though you're in a whole different dude's body and, like, you don't realize it, you still could have had a nice ancestral child.
Yeah. And he's not Amish.
And he's not Amish.
So it's like, ooh. And
you know he didn't pull out.
Yep. You
know? He's like, I might only get this once. I ain't pulling out. She already got a light skinned baby. What's one more? Let me stop, bro.
That's terrible.
Let me stop. No, for real though. It was kind of disturbing because once you realize in this moment, and I do think the film does do a good job of disguising it. I just I'm just weird. And I was like, it has to be him, right?
Yeah.
After
I didn't think it wasn't right away.
It wasn't right away. Like, I say I was watching for a good hour, like hour and 10.
Yeah.
Before I was like, this is him.
Yeah, it's a journey of self-discovery instead of him trying to find somebody. He's literally trying to find himself.
And yeah. I'm like, and that's what I thought was so cool about the writing and the direction. I'm like, he did a great job of turning a private eye story into an outside looking inward thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, holy shit, not only am I this guy, I was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was running around doing whatever.
Yeah.
I made a deal with the devil for fame. I got it. Okay. When it was my time to pay up, I'm so up my own ass.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to pay. I'm willing to jump through hurdles and try and find loopholes to keep myself alive and to still enjoy life as it is. You got 12 years. Not too bad.
Yeah.
So he did. Clearly, this was a smart guy. A smart guy who let greed get the best of him, because obviously he wanted fame and fortune and recognition so bad, he was willing to sacrifice the ultimate thing. And De Niro has a quote in here later that I'll get into when it comes to body and flesh versus soul. Mm. And I thought that was one of the Cypher had all the best quotes, honestly. I thought that was a brilliant quote and what he was getting at, and how I think this movie kind of tells you that being normal isn't always a bad thing, because the things one may go through to achieve certain things, it may kill you faster. It may kill your soul and everything.
Yeah, I was going to say kill you from the inside out.
I'm like, everything that actually matters, that makes up a person, that's going to kill you. So it's like...
And then when you realize, like that guy says about how that kid's heart was eaten, you realize the title of the film,
Angel Heart,
kind of like Silence of the Lambs. When you hear about that dream, uh-huh. you're like, oh, now I know what the title of the film means.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the title says it all.
Yeah,
and so Harry's like, fuck, what do I do? And he thinks that, you know, hey, I can get out of this again because I've done it before.
Yes, yeah.
Not happening this time.
No.
Now we meet up with the homie, Lucifer.
There you go, Lucifer.
Lucifer. Lucifer, the devil, Robert De Niro. And he doesn't look the same.
No, he looks almost like he's from Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah.
He's got the nails out. And I'm like, he got these acrylics on.
Yeah. Would you rather I had like hooves and a tail?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what like he has.
Cloven hooves, I think is what he says. Yes.
He has such, that's what like, he had good quotes.
And yeah.
So, like, for a small role, De Niro's so good. He elevated this small part and made it feel so big.
And you know, if they really hated each other, like you said, which I'm sure they did,
probably made this better.
Yeah. I think it makes the tension between the two even more palpable.
Yes, because that like that end scene, you feel like you can see like De Niro's like, got you, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
And like he put him through this. So either way, like even if he tried to get out of it, because you find out then too that Harry actually under the direction of Lucifer.
With the guidance of my hand, of course.
Yeah, he killed all those people he didn't think he killed.
Yep, and they show you how he did it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, when he puts homie's head in the gumball pot, I was like, you're sick.
But it's like, so Lucifer is getting his way either way. So either you're going to go to jail and be murdered,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get your soul then, or we can do it right now.
We can do it like two men.
Yeah.
And Lucifer doesn't want him to go to jail. He's like, you're fucking mine.
Yeah.
I put you through the ringer just to make your ass run in a circle and chase your own tail.
Yeah.
Because I don't like you. Because we made a fucking deal and you thought you were going back out of a deal with me. Do you know who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
Like,
I am King Kid of Fuck Mountain.
Yeah. Like, dude, come on, man. Like, if this was South Park, I got Saddam Hussein in my bed right now. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so. Zane is one of the best South Park characters, actually, because he's actually one of the most emotionally in tune characters on the entire show. It's so funny. But he's like, bro, it's checkmate. I got you. Ain't nowhere you can go. I made you. I made you kill people. I made you sleep with your daughter. I took everything from you, and you're walking around New York like a dusty bum.
Dusty bum.
I mean, he's like, what do you got? I got you running around for $5,000 that I ain't going to give you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't getting nothing from me. De Niro got the long hair out.
Yeah.
Kane loud and proud. You can tell the rings is on full display. You're just like, oh, man. He's looking real dark and evil right now.
He is.
And, you know, of course he doesn't want to believe it. He's like, it's not true. I know who I am.
Yeah, he turns into Luke.
In Empire. Yeah, he does. He does turn into Luke from Empire, bro. He's like, I know who I am. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Oh, it's impossible. He does. He turns to Luke, and he's like, all right, buddy. Ready to go to hell?
Yeah.
And he's basically like, no.
I assume that's what the elevator
ride is. That's what the elevator ride is.
I assume.
Because I'm taking a ride to hell because it's long.
Because I was watching the credits. I'm like, oh, there's like end credit scenes. And it's just this elevator ride.
Long elevator ride.
And then
straight to hell.
And then the elevator stops and the movie's over.
Yep.
And you're like, wow.
No, I was like, damn, that kind of hit hard. I was like, damn, bro.
It hit harder than you think.
That's what I was like. Because I was like halfway through, I was like, that's all right. And then, but once everything is revealed, I was like, this movie has a little brilliance to it. I was like, okay.
And it's something I'd honestly never heard of.
Yeah, dude, I was just, I don't know, you know.
How did you hear of it?
Dude, I don't even remember. It was like.
Well, I know you're a De Niro fan.
I am a De Niro fan, but I actually think I stumbled across this through Mickey Rourke.
Oh, really? Because
I think I was watching. I think somebody made a video about him and I was watching, and they were like, Angel Heart, one of his like most underrated roles and a real underrated, like kind of cult classic. And I was like, so I looked it up. I was like, seems interesting. I had good reviews. I was like, I want to check it out one day. It's been on my list for like a year.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh, it's spooky time coming up. Like, let's do something different. Something nobody's really heard of. So I was like, this would probably be good. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. But I thought it was pretty good. Good ending.
It is really
great performances,
and it's one of those films like there is a little bit of action, but it's mostly story.
Yeah,
so you're getting character development.
Yeah, you get a lot of character development,
and it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's noir that supernatural film. Stuff. Yeah, it's neo noir.
Yep, that's what it is. So
So
some stats: it's got 82 on Rotten Tomatoes, not too bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
7.2 on IMDb, pretty good. 3.6 on Letterboxd, pretty good. So.
Yeah.
You know, pretty decent scores across the board, but I definitely think it's one of those cult films. Like, if you've seen it, you probably love it. You know?
Yeah.
But not a lot of people have seen it. So, MVP.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. It's Mickey. It's got to be.
Honestly, maybe even Lisa Bonet, too.
Lisa Bonet was really good.
Yeah, because.
She was really good.
I mean, she's done stuff since and before that, but, like, if you look at her in this film, you don't think of like Denise Huxtable.
You do not.
You don't think of her from like High Fidelity or whatever else she was in.
No, you do not. Think of Epiphany Proudfoot.
Yeah.
And she like she has like you said she's got this sex appeal to her.
Yeah.
She's got this. I don't know. It's like watching her in that role is like wow. I'm seeing a lot of your daughter in you.
And the weird thing is and I hate to sound weird saying this, but my wife is brown, so maybe I won't sound weird. That one scene where she's walking and he's talking to her, I think he goes back to like her house or whatever, and she's wearing white. And like when the sun is like shining like through the linen, the white linen, that's like a real, just from an aesthetic point of view, because you could see like the outline of her body through the linen,
bro.
But it's like, it's tasteful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like,
sexy.
It's
this is beautiful.
Yes. Like, you can admire.
It's more like art.
Yeah. You can admire her femininity without like.
Without over-sexualizing.
Not like in a lascivious way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was. I was like, wow, she's really quite stunning. Because like, I liked her in The Cosby Show, but she felt like a young girl.
Yes.
And I liked her in A Different World. You know, she was one of the better characters. So
only the first season, though.
Oh, yeah.
They got rid of her and Aunt May at the same time.
Right.
Hey,
bro, come on. And she was, dude, you know, I love her. She's a legend.
But I think A Different World, in all fairness, got better without being tied to the Cosby Show.
Yes,
once Denise wasn't there, they were able to, they had more freedom.
They could explore shit, it's like, yeah, I agree.
Because they didn't have to tie it in anymore.
But Lisa Bonet, I mean, she didn't have a crazy career like that.
No.
She wasn't, especially by the mid-90s?
She was more like a guest or a supporting actress.
Yes, you would see her here and there and stuff. I mean, she was one of those actresses who was more so just known for being beautiful, really.
Yeah.
And like her affairs.
Oh, or being like Mrs. Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, sounds like her affairs and stuff.
Yeah,
like
you're
that.
Right. Because
Lenny had a way bigger career.
Yeah, than her. And that's probably why she could take the back burner.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
I didn't even think about it. Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, and it kind of reversed because like I actually was watching Lenny's Behind the Music and they were talking about how everyone was like, she's too good for you and this. That.
Oh, yeah, because he was on the
Cosby Show.
He was like Romeo Blue when he first came.
Yeah, he wasn't nothing yet. And they're like, oh, well, you ain't worthy of her. And, of course, they had Zoe. And everyone's like, oh, you're ruining this woman. And then he ends up fucking blowing up.
Oh, my God,
the tables turn.
When Are You Gonna Go My Way came out.
Yo, that's game changer, man.
And, dude, he did everything on that album.
Dude.
He did every instrument, everything.
That's what I'm saying. Every
that album
instrument.
Is entirely him. And it's like,
I was like, this guy is so fucking talented.
He was like the next Hendrix.
He really was. Like, Lenny
or Corey Glover from Living Color.
Probably better than him, though.
Yeah.
Like, he is the 21st century's Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, so. He is the late 20th century, 21st century Hendrix, for sure.
Yeah, just amazing.
Incredible, dude. Such a talented dude. But so she never really had to, like, be this great grand actress.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Zoe has had a far better career than her, and she's much younger.
And maybe it's because she was able to...
Nepotism helps.
But it does. But, like... Maybe because she was able to stay with her daughter was able to focus more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I'm like, listen, Zoe's life was set up from the time she came out.
Yeah,
Zoe was never.
Yeah, and that's not bad.
About nothing. Yeah,
that's not bad
at
all.
She's incredible. And dude, she's taking it so many steps further. She writes, directs.
Oh yeah,
she's directed a few movies.
Yeah,
she's directed this one with Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
which has good reviews. I want to see it. I'm gonna watch it. She's very talented, and I mean, she even raps too, bro. She
really?
Rap, yeah, she Ellen, can do it all.
She's one of the best Catwomen.
She's my favorite.
Really?
No, you know, I like Michelle too.
Yeah, but I mean,
shit.
There's something,
dude. I don't know. She brings something out.
Yeah, she does.
Her and Bobby P. They brought.
Yeah.
Their chemistry was really refreshing.
I just love him saying. You have a lot of cats.
I just love to her when she's like, the bat and the cat.
Like,
if I was Robert Pattinson, I'm like, it's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
Real nice one.
Yeah.
I mean, Zoe Kravitz, dude. She's been... When I first saw her, I was like, Jesus, who is this?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, that's Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Oh, yeah, because she looked great in Fury Road.
Dude, she's good in Fury Road. She was in that movie Dope with Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. That was one of the first roles I seen her. And I was like, Jesus. But she's proven she's far more than Lisa and Lenny's kid and just a pretty face. She is very good. She can act. She's very talented. So, I mean... It worked out for them. But, would this be her peak season, Lisa's?
I don't know if it would be her peak season.
I'd say it'd have to be the Cosby Show after your peak season, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Just like anyone on that show, it was probably their
peak. Yeah, anybody is, except maybe Bill.
And Felicia Rashad, I believe, does a lot of Broadway stuff, too. So if we would do Broadway stuff, that would probably be Felicia Rashad's peak stuff.
Yeah, she's done a lot of stuff. She's been in a lot of stuff.
And she's played like
Creed's mom. That's been kind of her thing last couple years.
Yeah.
She's done stuff, but I mean, that's definitely her peak season.
So
whose peak season is this?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke. It would have to be.
Because
Alan Parker.
It's got to be the wrestler.
Well,
got Oscar nom.
Well, how about like 80s?
80s, old school for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, the wrestler was kind of like a.
Because it's not De Niro's peak season.
Hell no. I mean, obviously.
Because Alan Parker wrote it and directed it, and it's not his
peak season. It's not his peak season. That's what I was like. It's not Alan Parker.
So is it no one's
peak season? That's what I said. I had no one.
Toot Sweet.
Toot Sweet. That's definitely his peak season. My man.
Yeah. And
Minnesota Fats.
Yeah.
Mississippi Fats. That's
their peak season.
That's their peak season for sure.
Yeah.
Because I was like, all the main players have definitely done. especially De Niro, obviously.
Now, MVP, though, it would be Mickey Rourke.
Mickey and Lisa.
That's cool. But peak season, you're right. It can't be. Because everyone did more before or after.
Yeah, bigger. So De Niro did bigger shit before and after.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so. Even Mickey Rourke, I would say Iron Man 2 was more of a season than that.
Yeah, he was good as the Russian dude.
Yeah, I liked him. He was good.
I mean, Whiplash was his name, but I forget his actual...
I don't remember his actual name. He just had a funny little accent, though.
It's an underrated Iron Man film, but it is actually really good because it sets up so much more of what happens later.
I loved Iron Man 2. And you get Justin Hammer.
Our guy. You can't go wrong with Sam
Rockwell. If he's in your movie, he's going
to
make it
His
better.
Birthday was a couple days ago. Happy belated birthday.
He's a
Laker
man? Yeah. That's what's up. I can see that. All right.
Yeah.
That's dope. All right. Best quotes.
I'll run through them.
I got you. You know I got you on the close. It's funny. I have a feeling I've met you before. And that right there, that was when him and Cypher first met. That kind of tells you right there, like, there's something here between these two. Yeah. And I was like, and I mean, my ears kind of perked up when he said, I was like, here we go. I'm a doctor. It's perfectly normal for me to keep pharmaceuticals at home. Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
You tell me what I want to know, and I'll be out of your hair forever. You know what they say about slugs. They always leave slime in their tracks.
Yes. That's a good
one, bro. All the quotes.
Here's another good one from him, which you probably already have. Alas, how terrible is wisdom when it brings no profit to the wise?
I definitely got that in here somewhere.
I guess that is towards the end.
Yeah, I'm like, I keep them in order.
Yeah,
that's such a good. I was like, he has so many good ones.
Yeah.
Some religions think the egg is a symbol of the soul.
Yeah, and then he starts eating it.
And he's cracking it.
Yeah.
He has a hard-boiled egg, and he rolls it on that plate.
Yeah.
And the way he cracks it open, I've never seen anyone do an egg
when
like
he did that. I'm like, this dude is going to eat your soul.
Yes.
Like, that's a symbol. Like,
they hinted at him being trippy as fuck right off the rip.
And another one that he says about religion, they say there's enough religion in the world to make men hate each other, but not enough to make them love.
Yep. I have that here too somewhere.
Yeah.
I do have that. Yep, let's see. Wow. Oh, great. I get to go to Harlem again.
Yeah.
He's like, cool. Gotta go down the hood. I hate these hocus pocus bitches. What do you do in the summertime? I bite the head off rats. It is a pity. I wanted to have my palm read. I don't think you'd like what I see. I was like, oh, buddy. That was when I knew something was real off about him.
Yeah.
You're a dick or a book writer?
Yeah.
Fat sweets.
Yeah. Yeah, because they used to call detectives private dicks. There's one line. He says when there's two cops are in his hotel room and they're looking through stuff and he calls that one cop Tess Trueheart.
Remember that.
Yeah, he's like, just ask Tess Trueheart over there. He's talking to Fats, and he's talking about his partner. Do you know who Tess Trueheart is? Tess Trueheart is Dick Tracy's girlfriend.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. I was like, holy shit.
See the little shit you catch.
Yeah.
I said, means I got a big mouth. Not big enough, Toots. Somebody cut his dick off, stuffed it in his mouth, and choked him to death. Today is Wednesday. That's anything can happen day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because do you watch Mickey Mouse Club?
Mickey Mouse Club, yeah.
Yeah.
You remember after all, he's my father. I was like, oh. Mama waited, mama died.
Oh, yeah.
I'll call you if I hear anything. Call me if you don't.
We forgot to say that her mom was like a, let's say, voodoo priestess. And she was one from the time she was 13. Mm-hmm. She like took over after her mom died.
Yep.
That's why she was doing that. The ritual.
He said he shoved his dick in his mouth with the thing he pisses with. This is a church, Mr. Angel.
Hold on. There's Who the fuck are you, Cypher? Watch your language. Hey, I don't give a fuck if this is a church, okay? Churches give me the creeps. I don't like churches.
I don't like churches. Yeah. Which makes sense now.
Yes, totally.
Like you said, there's enough religion in the world to make men hate one another, but not enough to make them love.
Are you an atheist?
Yes, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's literally the next one. Yes, oh, it is. That's why I'm ready for it. Oh, yeah. I had that ready to go, bro. Frightened eyes never lie.
Wow.
It's always a badass that makes the girl's heart beat faster. That's true. We all
yeah,
know that.
Yeah.
Down here, we don't fuck with the jigaboos around here. Yeah. I'm like, ugh. How terrible is wisdom?
Oh.
Brings no profit to the wise, Johnny.
Yeah. Like, that's a great
line. That's a good line. I was like, ooh. Dude, that's what I was like. De Niro probably read the script. Was like, well, I have all the best quotes, so I'll do it. I was like, I have all the best.
I'll get star in this film.
There's death everywhere these days, Johnny. This was my favorite one from him. Flesh is weak, Johnny. Only the soul is immortal.
What did he say after it?
What does he say after it?
And yours belongs, to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Sick thing. Yeah, that was what I have for quotes.
Yeah.
Do you have any more?
Mephistopheles is such a mouthful in Manhattan, Johnny.
That's why he had such good
Those
he was good.
Yeah, he was good. And yeah. He was probably one of the best parts of the film too, but
he was.
But since he wasn't in it that much, it's kind of like
they'd use him just enough.
Yeah,
he
would also be an MVP. He's like a runner up.
He's a runner up MVP. If he was in it more, he probably would be right there.
Yeah,
you know. But of course, they got him front and center on the poster because
you have to.
You know, he's the guy.
He's the selling point.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's age the best? I had noir mystery movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? The only way it could be better is if it was in black and white.
If it was in black and white, yeah. But I know he wanted to show all that blood and all that stuff in color.
Yeah.
So I was like, he wants all that blood in color. What's age the worst?
Incest.
I said, sleeping with your daughter. I said, all forms of animal cruelty.
Yeah, yeah, because that was at a time, because they show some dude skinning some animal at one point, too. And it's, I think when he's at the gumbo fest or whatever. And it's like, that's, you could tell it's a real animal that they're skinning. But it might have been a real thing where they were filming.
Yes.
So
that's
some
Hodorowski shit.
So I wonder if that was a real chicken. She slit its throat and stuff. Yeah.
PETA wasn't knocking down doors yet.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd rather see her naked than wear a fur.
Absolutely. Most rewatchable scenes. I have one. Harry meets the doc.
Yeah.
Not Harry meets the doc. Harry meets Cypher.
Yeah.
When the doc kills himself.
Yes. And that goes along with Harry meeting the doc.
Yeah.
Like when that whole thing.
When he's talking to the old couple on the beach.
Yeah.
When he meets Epiphany. When he meets Toots Sweet.
Yeah. Toots Sweet. Toots Fat. Poor Toots.
When he finds the heart from the psychic.
Oh, yeah.
When having Epiphany. Hang out in his room.
Yes.
And then I had the entire ending.
Yeah, because that whole ending is important.
Pretty much from when he tells
the whole third act.
That's all, like, that's when it all comes together and really.
Yeah, because
really
even the end credits are important.
They are.
Yeah.
Best characters. I had Angel, Epiphany, and Lewis.
Yeah, because everyone else is minor.
Yeah, very minor. Very minor.
So, yeah, it's those three. Man. And that's why they're the only ones you need to recast.
Yeah.
Really.
And I have worse characters. I had Angel.
Now, okay.
Not Harry. Or Johnny. Johnny.
Detective, yeah.
Not Harry.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Angel really?
Angel's not bad.
Yeah, but Johnny.
Johnny's bad. So, okay. Johnny, technically, yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I have.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree.
Nitpicks. Who would you have? I'm sure you had at least one.
Believe it or not, like, I thought it was kind of slow, but like, that's not really a nitpick. It's just kind of like, because he's developing the story.
Developed the story. That's like I said, about halfway through, I was like, that's decent, but like, I expected to move a little quicker, and then it just starts moving really fast.
Okay. So I don't really know.
I think it balances well by the end.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have. I mean, the New Orleans cops were kind of like caricatures.
Goofies,
yeah. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Goofy.
Yeah.
That, you're that right.
That's like, only real nitpick.
I was like, they're
cause,
so...
Because everything else that you might have a question about gets answered.
Yep.
There are no real unanswerable questions.
No, I'm like, it all gets answered. That's yeah. What I was like, I had no unanswerable questions.
And I just realized why De Niro probably only had a guest starring role in this film. It came out in 87. He was probably filming The Untouchables.
He probably was.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with our boy Brian.
Yeah.
And our boy Kevin Costner.
Yeah. And Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Andy Garcia.
No, that's a good cast.
Charles
good
Martin Smith from American Graffiti. American
Graffiti.
Yeah. And the Buddy Holly story, if you've ever seen that one.
I never watched that. I need to watch that.
Gary Busey the accident.
That's what I was like. Pre-accident Gary Busey. Yeah.
Pre-Lethal Weapon.
Was on the rise.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it sucks he got in the accident. All right, recasting couch.
All right.
All right, who did you have for Harry / Johnny?
Okay, now I have a couple different ideas.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My initial knee-jerk reaction for Harry and Lucifer were the two guys from that Bike Riders movie or whatever.
Oh, Tom Hardy and Austin Butler.
Yeah, so Tom Hardy would be Lucifer and Austin Butler would be Harry.
Did you watch that?
No.
It's really good.
Because I'm seeing the value of Austin Butler because you've been great. Talking him up.
He's great.
And obviously after seeing Dune 2, I'm like, okay, this
you gotta watch Bike do. Riders. Totally different role for him. He's good. He's showing his range.
So I was thinking like those two, but like Ryan Gosling might be really good as Harry.
Dude, he would be a good Harry. Oh, he'd be a great.
But if you do Ryan Gosling as Harry, you'd have to have like
Clooney, too old.
Clooney would be incredible as Lucifer. Steve Carell might bring...
Too goofy?
Too goofy, yeah.
But he can play serious.
He can, because he has.
He has. He can do it.
Look, even Brad Pitt
could be a good Lucifer. Oh, he'd be a great Lucifer. But he's perfect age, too, and he's got the look. That should be great.
But if you have, like, Ryan Gosling, you'd have to have, like, Denis direct it, because he did such a great neo-noir job with Blade Runner.
Denis, I did think about Denis for this, but I'm like, but would he want to do something less this dark?
If it was like Tom Hardy as Lucifer and Austin Butler as Harry, I would want Guillermo del Toro to direct it.
Oh my God, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, you know, he's good with the atmosphere and the heart.
I like him for the director, for whoever.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This would be a good, this would just be his type of
project. Yeah, because
that's a good one.
He could make Lucifer look even more Lucifer-like, I think.
Because I thought about Timmy Burton, but I was like, I feel like he would put too much of a goofball edge on
this. And like Tim Burton's strengths are like now, like Wednesday with like the Addams Family and like Beetlejuice or like Edward Scissorhands type stuff.
He would make more the look of it good, but I don't know. I feel like he would make the story turn in. I feel like he put some cheese in the stuff.
Yeah. So I was thinking Del Toro, man.
Love Del Toro for the director. I think that's who we should stick with.
Yeah.
Del Toro for the director. For Harry, I had Glenn Powell.
God, you love Glenn Powell. And dude, you know what?
He would be good in this.
And the thing is, I didn't think about him. You're right.
Glenn Powell, he's the perfect age.
Yeah.
He's got the look, the charisma. I'm like, Glenn Powell would kill this right now.
And I bet he can
Of course, I thought about Austin, too.
And I bet he could bring the gravitas for like when he finds out.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Glenn Powell's good, man. He's my guy on the rise right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Glenn's my guy on the rise.
So how about Lucifer?
I had Josh Brolin.
God, you know what? Glenn Powell and Josh Brolin.
They'd be a nice combo.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt, man.
Because I think I'm thinking of him like now, but like acting like he did in Interview with the Vampire.
Yes. Interview Brad. But now.
Yeah.
Because, did you watch Wolves?
No, I didn't watch
it. It's pretty good, man.
Is it?
Like, him and Clooney.
I mean, they
already know the chemistry.
They're already the Newman and Redford.
Yeah, they kill it, of course. They're funny as hell. Like, you can't look. If you like Clooney and Brad, you'll like this movie. So
yeah,
it's like, it's fun. And then, you know, you get some random, the kid, I don't know if you watch Euphoria.
I don't.
The kid from there is like, he's like the third lead in there. He's with them and he does a really good job with these two. So it's pretty good. But after like watching Wolves and like just watching Brad the last like 5 or 6 years, he would be a good Lucifer.
Yeah.
I do like Brolin and Powell as a team.
Yeah.
But I think Brad would be good with whoever.
Honestly, I think Glenn Powell and Brad Pitt, because
they would be great.
Yeah.
They would be good. I like them. Them two with fucking Guillermo directing. That'd be sick.
Because look, Glenn Powell, he obviously was in Maverick, so he's already been with like Tom Cruise, and I think
if he's already worked with a heavy hitter,
yeah. So I think having another heavy hitter would really legitimize him to people that don't
and really Guillermo.
Oh my god, yeah,
dude, this would because I'm like I do I see people coming around to Glenn, but I know there's still the doubters out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like by 2027. He's a household, bro. He's going to be in everything.
He's going to be in a Marvel movie probably at some point.
He'll be a hero.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. He wants to be.
Yeah, yeah.
He might try and shy away from it at this point because of the state of hero movies.
But it might just put his name out there so he can do more independent stuff. But
dude, if you like...
Look at Daniel Radcliffe. You know?
Yeah. If they were going to like really, really do a nice restart of Indiana Jones.
Oh, he would be incredible.
Such a good indie.
He would.
He would be such
a... Yeah, if they fill in like before Raiders.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he would be such incredible. Such
an indie if they're going to fucking like try and bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, just reboot it with him.
Dude, he'd be sick.
That would actually be perfect. He might be a good Flash Gordon too if they would redo Flash Gordon.
He's just got a hero look, dude.
He does, yeah. He
looks like a hero. Like,
he would be really good.
He can play.
I love Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
The character. I haven't seen the movie in a decade.
the Sam Jones?
Yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time. I have not.
That's funny. So, all right. So, Harry, Glenn, Lucifer, Brad.
Now, Epiphany.
I had two. Obviously, we already talked about Zoka.
Yeah. I think she would honestly be great.
She'd kill it. And like her and Glenn Powell would have great chemistry.
Yeah.
But I said Jenna Ortega. Do you want to get someone younger?
Hmm.
I mean, she's ethnic.
Yeah, she's ethnic.
You know, and she ain't got to be black or white or anything. She can be whatever.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that she could has really that work.
Vibe to her. She's good looking.
Yeah. Honestly, happy belated birthday to her. Her birthday was
Shout out to Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Yeah, I think so. And it would break her out of, like, the type of roles that they've been kind of, like, typecasting her in.
I know the obvious choice seems like Zendaya.
I didn't even think about her. But oh my God, you're right.
Zendaya.
You're right. She would be good too. You're right.
She's the obvious choice.
She is the obvious choice because you need someone who's mixed.
Yeah. I'm like, she's the obvious choice if you want to go for a mixed race girl. I went with Jenna just for something a little bit different. But
yeah.
I mean, if you wanted a perfect cast, Glenn, Brad, and Zendaya would be like,
yeah,
it's just gold
and,
right there.
And yeah, Guillermo del Toro directing.
That's gold.
That would be like, take my money now.
Yeah, I'd be like, hell, this is about to be dope. That would be a sick ass remake, dude.
Yeah.
It could possibly be better than the original.
And honestly, just use the same script because Alan Parker killed it with the script.
He did.
So
I was like, we could get Zendaya. I was just trying to like not go so obvious.
I didn't even think about it. Isn't that terrible? I thought the obvious was Zoe Kravitz.
She looks so much. She looks just like her mom. And like I thought about her. I was like, you just use Zoe. I'm like, damn, Zoe's kind of old. Like, because she was, Lisa Bonet was probably, 19, 20 in that movie?
Probably. Because when?
It's 87.
It's 87. So
she's
like,
55?
Maybe. I know she's older than
Momoa, Jason.
Yeah. But that's obvious just because of her acting in 1984 as a teenager.
Yeah,
and
he was born probably like...
70. My God, 67. Yeah, she's 56.
She's 56. Oh, man, that was pretty good.
She'll be 57 in November.
Sweet. Look at me.
So, yeah, you're right. So... 67, she was 19 when they filmed it, probably.
Damn.
Yeah, you were right.
I was just guessing.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
That's what I was like. Jenna Ortega is only like 21.
She just
or
turned
two.
22.
All right, 22.
Yeah.
She's legal. Hit the bar with her.
You know what? I think Jenna Ortega.
Is like,
because she's like late 20s now, Zendaya.
Zendaya is older.
So I think Jenna Ortega. If I say Jenna Ortega with a tan, I only mean because the area. She would be out in the sun a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Because, I mean, she is tan.
Yeah, yeah. But as Wednesday, she has to be
she's
more
pale. Yeah.
Because people only think of her as Wednesday doing her best April Ludgate impression.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to think of her. You won't be able to see it. But, yeah, when you put it that way.
They're always coming to get you.
I know.
Always hiding out, though.
Yeah. Kevin Smith's least favorite film he did, Cop Out.
I felt bad for him because he's like, It just ruined Bruce Willis for me,
bro. Yeah, and that was his hero. They're both from Jersey.
Yeah. He was like, never meet your heroes, guys. I was like, damn, yeah. That's sad. I like that. So who we want? Jenna, Zendaya?
Yeah, Jenna. Honestly, so Glenn Powell, Brad Pitt, Del Toro, and Jenna. Ortega. Ortega and Del Toro.
That'd be sick.
That'd be
sick. So last one, prop you want from the movie. Cypher's Kane.
Oh yeah, yeah. That would be. I want that trench coat so I could burn it.
So you burn it
because it was so bulky and awkward and weird.
Yeah, and he ain't never like, take it off.
No. It's like, how are you running in that thing? That's 100 pounds easy.
That thing was heavy. He was in New Orleans with that thing. On. Yeah, like, it's hot as shit. People out here with no shirts on.
Oh, and the glasses with the stupid things.
Yeah, with the nose.
Oh my god, that's the prop I want so I could throw it out.
About the nose glasses.
Yeah.
And the little kid's like, he's like, oh, sorry.
It even scared the little demon kid.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm scared of that.
Yeah. And I'm a demon.
I'm a demon. All right, man, so let's grade the thing.
I'd say a B+.
I'll say a solid B.
Yeah.
I'll give it a solid B, like 85%. I'm top of it. I was like, it's definitely a good watch, like all time October watch.
Yeah, it's not one you would think. Would be, but it has a good twist.
It's got a good twist. It's fun, you know, especially if you like 80s, like slow burn of mysteries. You would like this. So,
yeah,
that's a good one. So what do you want to do next week? You pick whatever you want.
You know what? I told you I started to watch it. Okay. I'll give you the option. That new Hellboy movie, from what I've seen of it, it's awesome because it just came out digitally. It was a direct-to-video thing. Uh-huh.
Is it Harbor?
No.
Who's Hellboy?
Jake Kesey, I think his name is.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know, but he's great as Hellboy. I'll tell you that.
Jake Kesey?
Or the 4:30 movie, the new Kevin Smith.
You don't want to do Kevin Smith.
Yeah, because the 4:30 movie is really good.
You got it?
I watched it last week, yeah.
Oh, you got it? Let me get that.
All right,
we're doing 4:30 then.
Kevin okay, Smith. 4:30 movie.
I love Kevin Smith. You know, it's my guy.
I think you're really gonna love it because it takes place in '86.
Right here.
So it's sort of like the '80s teen comedies that we're used to, and it's semi autobiographical. So it's basically
great, dude.
So it's basically the main character is like Kevin Smith in 1986.
That's fucking awesome.
And it's like there's certain things in it that
so he's a fucking nerd.
Basically, yeah. And look, Ken Jeong is in it.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. And it's I think you'll really enjoy it.
I just watched speaking of 80s, Totally Killer with Karen Shipka. Where she goes back in time to the 80s. It's like an 80s slasher movie.
Oh, really?
Dude, it's an Amazon.
Sabrina, right?
Yeah, Sabrina. It's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. I actually liked it. It's a fun fun time.
She was great in Sabrina.
Oh, everybody loved her in Sabrina. Yeah, man. Yeah. She's in Twisters for like 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Did she get blown away?
She is blown away.
Wow.
Bad.
That's terrible.
I'm like, how are they going to do her so dirty?
Yeah, anyway. She was in Mad Men, for crying out loud.
Her name's bigger than some of these motherfuckers who live.
Yeah, more people probably know. Especially,
I knew her more than everybody else in that movie except Glenn Powell.
Until next year, no one knows who David Corn Sweat is. And he was in Twisters.
David Corn Sweat. Is that the Spanish guy?
I don't know because I didn't see Twisters.
Well, that Spanish guy was in.
He's like a tall, dark haired dude who looks like Superman because he's going to play Superman.
Well, he's the asshole guy then. Okay.
He's James Gunn's Superman.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Next year, everyone will know who he is. And he's a local boy. He's from Philly.
All right. He lives longer than Karen Shipka.
Okay. Nice. Awesome. Awesome.
He actually survives the entire fucking film.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because he's Superman.
That's right. Well, because he was smart and not playing with Mother Nature. But, you know, hey, he's got – it's an interesting film. If you like country shit, you'll like it.
So next year, everyone will know who he is because James Gunn is probably going to blow him up.
Well, luckily for him, he's working with Big Game James.
So. Yeah, that's true.
All right, guys. So 4:30 next week. I'm Dom.
I'm Jamie.
This is Cutting Room Floor.